The rest of us will be in Exodus chapter 19. So if you'll turn there. I want to encourage you to pray about that children's program. I think it's going to be great for the children. I'm not really all that concerned about the financial aspect of it. I mean, a lot of that's actually already came in, so praise the Lord about that. But pray for the two things. One, the spiritual aspect of how it'll help our kids, and then also workers, that we could have enough workers commit to have a rotation there. And if God would place it on your heart to be a helper, that would be a blessing. I don't want you to feel pressure from me, but if you feel the Lord's working in you about helping out with that. I will say that working with the children, some days you'll be on your way to church and you'll think, oh my goodness, I'm not sure I can do it again today. But it's always worth it. It's always worth it in the end. Every investment we make of our time and energy into the life of these kids, the return is incredible. It's incredible. So, amen. We're in Exodus 19 because although we're not touching the law specifically today, what we're doing is we're setting a foundation for the subsequent lessons, messages about the law of God. So what we're going to do today is we're going to establish a theme. A theme as maybe that answers this question. Why did God give the law anyway? What's the purpose of the law? And to understand the theme or the purpose of the law helps us to interpret every law specifically, not only to the children of Israel, but to our lives today. Because the scriptures are timeless, that means the truths and the principles, even in the law, are timeless. And they affect our lives. But we need to know how that works. And so today we're going to set some foundation. It's going to help us to understand every law as we move forward. And so to me, this is an exciting message. And I hope that it'll get us excited about the messages to come. Because it's going to be a fun journey. And I hope you're excited. You know, when you think about reading through the book of Leviticus, you think, oh my goodness, we're going to read through Leviticus. But I'm excited about preaching through it. And I hope that today you'll feel the same about this study that we're about to get into. Amen? All right. Well, let's look at it one more time at our verses. Look at verse 5. Let's just read verse 5. We're primarily going to be here in verse 5 today. It says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. It says in the first part of verse 5, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant. Well, you know what he's talking about there. He's talking about the law of God. He's talking about what he's about to give to them. His voice is about to speak. His covenant is about to be established through the law. And he says, if you do that, you will be my peculiar treasure. That's awesome truth there. And that's what I want to be. And I hope that's what you want to be too. Let's have prayer this morning. Father, we pray your blessings upon the word. And God, that you'd work in our hearts, help us to be obedient to you as you speak to us. Please speak to us. Please help me to be an empty vessel for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our title today is Called to be Different. Called to be Different. And the world has a different idea of Christians who are living different than them. Christians who are living out the truths, the principles of the scripture. We are just trying to be godly, right? We're just trying to be obedient to the Lord, but the world has their own ideas. Have you ever heard the word legalist or legalism? And a lot of times, the word legalist or legalism is the way that the world views Christians and Christianity today. Or, let me say it this way, Christians who are trying to live holy lives are labeled as legalistic. The real meaning of legalism, and if you have a pen, you should probably note this, the real meaning of legalism is trying to work your way into favor with God. Now, when we're talking about legalism in regards to religion, legalism in regards to Christian living or living out what you've learned in the scriptures, Legalism would be to try to live in such a manner that you'll earn favor with God. Okay, now, we know that trying to be holy enough to go to heaven doesn't work, does it? You can't work your way to heaven. Robert, no, we know that's true, don't we? That you can't work your way into heaven. Let's not flip your pages like that. It's kind of distracting. But just this last week, Robert, in Vacation Bible School, hearing the messages, and God's working in your heart, wasn't he? And then on Wednesday, came into my office, sat down after our fourth, that would have been our fourth study, sat down in the office, and he says, I'm ready to get saved. And so Robert got saved on Wednesday, and praise the Lord. We're excited for you, Robert. And after church, we're going to make sure we get around and congratulate Robert. And then also pray for him about, you know, God's work in him in the future. He'll be getting baptized next week. And so, you know, you be in prayer for him. He's excited. We're excited for him. But that, what happened in Robert's life, what happened in your life when you got saved, has nothing to do with how good of a person you are. It has nothing to do with your ability to earn favor with God. That would be legalism. Legalism says, I can do these things and earn favor with God, whether it be unto salvation or whether it just be, you know, some sort of a favor towards, you know, my life, that God would show favor towards me because I am a good person and I do these good deeds. That would be legalism, and we don't believe that. We reject that idea. The world sees Christianity that way, people who are living holy lives, trying to be godly, as legalists, because they see us as doing these things because we're trying to earn favor with God. However, we live differently than the world because we are His people, and He called us to live different than the world. He has spoken to us, and He said, you're my people. You're to be different than the world because you're my people. In 1 Peter, we said in our Sunday school lesson this morning, if you're taking notes, you can note this. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. But it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says this, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So here's what God says to Christians. He says, be holy. He tells us why to be holy. Because He is holy. That's our motive. And Peter is not speaking to the Old Testament saints. He's speaking to Christians. This is a New Testament passage where Peter says, no, we're not trying to gain favor with God. It's all settled in Christ. And in Christ, we have a righteousness in the eyes of God so that we don't have to earn access into heaven, which we can't do anyway. But we live holy lives because He has called us to live holy lives. He has called us to be different, Peter says and teaches the church. We are called to be different. And so the purpose of the law needs to be explained. Because now we have, in the life of the children of Israel up to this point, they didn't have the scriptures. They only had oral tradition. Who was the one who penned the scriptures, the Pentateuch, the first five books? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It was Moses. So Moses is pinning the word here. What did Israel have before then when they were in Egypt for 400 plus years? They only had oral tradition. They only had what they learned from their forefathers, if you would. There was no written word. There was no written law. There was no written standard. Nobody knew who they were. For me to say, okay, you're God's holy people, we know what we base that on because we have the word of God. So we say, not only do I know I'm God's holy people, God's chosen people, called to be different, I know how and I know why, because it's all right here. They didn't have that. And so they would have been 400 years in Israel being exposed to all of these different religious ideas from the Egyptians. I mean, we're talking about wrong, false ideas about deity. And exposed to all of these gods and being tainted in their thinking for all of those centuries, kind of in the back of their mind, knowing the true and living God and holding to the standards of the oral tradition, but yet being exposed to all of these other religious ideas. They were God's chosen people. They were called to be set apart, and they would have wanted to know how to be God's chosen people, but they would have had up till now no identity. They would have wanted to know how to be set apart. They would have wanted to know how to be holy, other than, but they would have not known how to do that. In the book of Leviticus, now I do want you to turn there, but keep your finger in Exodus, because we're going to come right back. Look at Leviticus 20. Look at Leviticus 20 with me. I'm not going to have you going all over the place, but just as some introductory comments, we're going to look in Leviticus two times. Okay, so in verse number 7 of chapter 20 in Leviticus, I want you to see what Moses said. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Now, that very first word, only say that word. Sanctify. Okay, keep that in your mind, okay? Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Does that sound familiar? It should, because we just read it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, when Peter said, as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is where Peter received that quote, right here in Leviticus chapter 20. And we know that Peter, when he wrote to the Christians, he is telling them that they should live other than. That he was telling them that they need to be other than the world. Now, would Peter have been saying, now you need to be different because if you don't be different than the world, you can't go to heaven? Is that what Peter is saying? No. And he's quoting from the Old Testament, and he's bringing interpretation to the Old Testament, to the New Testament. And so whenever Moses in Leviticus chapter 20 in the law said, be holy, was Moses saying you need to keep these laws so you can go to heaven? No. It was never God's message to Israel, nor to you or to me, that we needed to keep God's law so we can go to heaven. It was never his message, not to the Old Testament, nor to the New Testament. It would have been another reason that God wanted his people to be holy. And it's the first word, and you said it along with me. Sanctify. Go back to Exodus 19. I want to show you something. Exodus 19, look at verse 10. Are we ready? Say amen if you're there. Amen. All right, good. Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. So God, before he ever gave the law, he's starting to teach them, listen, you need to be holy. And there's a process here of sanctification where God is going to begin to cleanse their lives. And he wants them to see this process. Before he ever gives the law, he says you need to sanctify them. They need to understand that God is other than the world. God is different than the world. God is above the world. And when we serve the living God, then we need to be other than the world. Look at verse 22 of our text. He says, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And so God wanted his people to prepare themselves, which is what sanctify means. He wanted them to dedicate themselves, to be holy, to be separate, to be other than the world. He wanted his people to know that they needed to be set apart. But here's the problem the people were having. They didn't know how to be set apart. They didn't know they needed to be set apart than the world, and they certainly didn't know how. And so that's in Bible times when Moses gave the law and Peter gave, you know, this commandment to the Christians in, you know, the early church. Let's fast forward to today. And as Christians, are you God's chosen people? The answer is yes. So let me ask you a question, Christians. Does it matter how you live your life? Yes. Does it matter who you hang out with? Yes. Does it matter how you talk? Yes. Does it matter how you dress? Does it matter what kind of music you listen to? As Christians, these things matter. As Christians, as God's people, these things matter. Because if we're a Christian, then we are called by God to be set apart, other than the world, to be different. Yeah. Most people can relate. Most Christians, let me say it like this, to be a little bit more personal, because I want to help you this morning. That most Christians, and maybe a lot of us in here, we want that. Listen, if you're saved, you want it. Okay? If Christ is in there, you want this. You might not like it, but you know you want it. Because he's there, and he's calling you to it. He's calling you to holiness. But just wanting it doesn't always mean we know how. So, the world views the law, and Christians are getting trapped in this too, to view the law as unimportant, as abolished. Now, I'm not going to speak heresy here. I want you to follow, okay? But a lot of people today, and Christians, are falling into this to think that, well, you know, the law, you know, that was abolished in Christ. But it wasn't abolished in Christ. There's no scripture in the New Testament that says the law was abolished. As a matter of fact, the opposite is said in Matthew chapter 5, that Jesus said this. He said, I came not, are you ready? I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. You see, fulfilling something and abolishing something are two totally separate things. Jesus never abolished the law. He fulfilled it. He completed it. And so that through him, we can fulfill in a righteous way, the righteous standard of God through Christ, that we could have access to heaven because of the holiness and the righteousness of Christ. But he never abolished the law. And the reason why, I want you to follow this with me, okay? The reason why he didn't abolish but fulfill the law is not only that we might have salvation, but I want you to think about the law of God. The law was not designed to make Israel right with God. The law would have been designed to tell them about the eternal character of God. This is who God is, in a sense. The law told them, and by the way, still tells us today, about the eternal character of God. The law of God cannot be abolished because the law of God is who God is. Think about it. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not, does anybody know? Kill. That's okay. We're going to learn the law. We're going to learn the Ten Commandments in our coming studies. But the Bible says, thou, in the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Aren't you glad that one's not abolished? I am. Yeah, that one's eternal. Yeah, so that one's going to heaven with us. Thou shalt not kill. I don't think there's going to be any murder in heaven. That one's, you know why that one's eternal? Because that's the character of God. Thou shalt not kill. Do you know what it tells us that God not only is against murder, but it tells us something about God. Thou shalt not kill. It says this about God, that God is pro what? Life. God is pro life. Thou shalt not kill. And so the law of God, no, it's not abolished. It tells us not only about who God is, but it tells us about who we should be as God's people, that as God transfers his law to the people of God, that we would begin to learn who God wants us to be and the kind of life that God wants us to live. No, we don't keep the law so that we can gain favor with God. We don't need to keep the law to gain favor with God. And the law of God isn't just the Ten Commandments. Let me correct you on something here. In case you didn't have this understanding, the law of God isn't just the Ten Commandments. It extends from Exodus chapter 20, and it goes all the way to the end of Leviticus. I want you to see something here. Go to our text, Exodus 19, and look at verse 20 with me. I just want you to see this, okay? Exodus 19, verse 20. It's, and the Lord came down upon Mount, say it. Sinai. Okay, so God met with Israel on Mount Sinai. Now I want you to keep your finger here and go to Leviticus chapter 27. This is that second reference I told you about earlier. I won't have you turn again after this, but I want you to see this. Leviticus chapter 27. It's the last chapter of Leviticus, okay? Now verse 34. So it's the last verse of Leviticus. Are you there? Say amen. Okay, let's read it together. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. So there it is. You can go back to Exodus. From Exodus 19, when God met with Israel on Mount Sinai, all the way to the end of Leviticus, it all happened right there at Mount Sinai. God didn't just give the Ten Commandments right there at Mount Sinai. He gave all of the law right there. And so whenever we study through this, we're going to learn that God didn't give the law to Israel so that they could know how to be right with Him. He gave the law to them so they could know what it meant to be peculiar, to be different, to be other than, to be holy. Listen, you're God's people. You're chosen by me. And listen, as God's people, you're not to be like the world. And Israel says, how? If you want me to be your chosen people, what does that look like? How do I be your chosen people? And God says, here it is. Here's my law. You don't need to do this so you can be right with me. You do this so you can know how to be my chosen people, how to be peculiar. That's eye-opening. It's awesome. Listen, church, keeping the law is not going to gain you one ounce of favor with God. You can try to keep all the commandments you want to, but it won't get you any one step closer to God just by keeping them, I'm saying. Because they're designed to teach us how to be holy. How that we can be other than the world. So that whenever, you know, you go into the world and you see kind of the operations of the world and people who are trying to be different, you know, in the end, they're just like the world, you know, because that's the world. And then you see a Christian. And Christians, in the truest sense, are different. They're supposed to be. And the world goes this way, the Christian goes that way. We're different. And so Moses gives the law. God gives us the law. Now let's remember Jesus in Matthew 5, don't turn there, but Jesus took the law to a new level, didn't he? Because he talked about murder, thou shalt not kill. And he said, it's to be angry, murder is to be angry at your brother, to be angry at your brother in your heart. And so the law gets to a deeper issue, which is our heart. And that's what we're going to be looking at through this study. So God would have wanted his people to know what it meant to be his people. Look at our verse 5 again. Verse 5. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then look what it says next. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. So that word peculiar is the word we're focusing in our subsequent messages. Peculiar. Peculiar meant to be a special possession or a treasured possession. Peculiar would have implied that they were of different use. And in the hand of God, they would have been different. And they should be different than the world. It's sort of like these cups right here. You know, these aren't just normal, regular cups. Not at all. I don't view these as normal, regular cups because these are special to me. These are peculiar to me, and they receive special use by me. The names on here, you know, I'm reading through this. Samantha, Sean, Nathan, Amanda. These are all kids in my youth group, you know. Abby plays the piano for the choir in St. Joe right now. She's all grown up. Her name's on there, and it's kind of sloppy. I need to show that to her. Brock, he sings in the choir in St. Joe. Colton Martinez, right there. His name is on there. That's Miss Tammy's nephew. Helped us put these brick signs in out here. Aren't those pretty? Their dad is the one that put them in. But anyway, yeah, his name's on. Brady, look at that. Brady's name is on here. Yep, that's awesome. Brady is Dakota's brother. This one is precious to me. Chad, Brother Dave, you know. Mary and Mark. I could go through it, but they're all there, you know. These are peculiar. These are other than. And they receive special attention by me because they're a special treasure to me. Well, here's what God says. You're peculiar. You're a peculiar treasure to Him. And therefore, we being His peculiar treasure ought to be other than the world, different than the world. And it manifests itself in our lives. It shows up in the way that we live. That we would be God's peculiar people shows up in how we live our lives, so that we're different than the world. I mean, we're peculiar, but God wants us to be different in the way we think. He wants us to be different in the way we act, in the life that we live. Remember the children of Israel, they would have had all of that years and years and centuries of exposure to the Egyptian, way of worship. And they would have been worldly. They would have been worldly. And God says, it's not for you to be worldly. Be holy, God says. Be other than, be peculiar. But they would need to know how. And we would need to know how. So look at verse 5 again. Now therefore, say that one word, if. You see that? Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then what he says is you shall be peculiar. So they would have needed to obey God's voice. They would have needed to keep his covenant. Well, what is that? What's his voice? What's his covenant? It's what he's about to give them. It's the commandments of God. It's being obedient, letting God get to the heart issues and letting God change our life. And this exposure would have made them worldly, but God is directing them towards a lifestyle change so that they could worship God, a new God. They're the true and living God. Their God. God's desire would have been to make them live different lives, to be his peculiar people. I want you to think of a Christian. What is a Christian really? A Christian is a sinner saved by grace. Isn't that right? A Christian is a sinner rescued from hell. And we could probably get a few amens on that one. Praise his name. But a person who gets born again is a baby Christian. A baby Christian needs to learn that they can't have their own way. You know, my kids, or in any one of them that aren't selfish. They're all tremendously selfish because they're like all the other children in the world, you know? They're selfish and they're all sinners, you know? And they're cute when they're not yours. I mean, oh, they're all cute, so anyway. But they're sinners. And I'm not going to tell you who because I want you to guess who it was. But one of my kids, their first words that they learned was no, no. Okay, it wasn't dad, dad and all that. It was no, no. There's two really good guesses, and you probably could be right on either one, but it was Ethan. His first words, no, no, he heard that one a lot. Kids don't like to hear that word. Children don't like it whenever you say no. They get the attitude, don't they? And then we have to, remind them that they're not the boss. Well, baby Christians, they don't like to hear no either. And so here's what God says. It's your responsibility now to become holy, but to do that, you're going to have to hear no. It's part of the process. It's part of growth. No, no. And it's not the pastor who does that. Listen, I'm right where God wants me to be, and I'll be here as long as God wants me to be here, and I love it. I'm loving every minute of it. I'm enjoying the ministry. I'm enjoying Fall City, and I'm enjoying you. You're my family. I'm loving this whole thing. But listen, when you hear no, no, don't think that it's just me trying to run your life or tell you what to do. No, this is God trying to make you holy. He's trying to mold you into becoming the Christian he wants you to be. And so he tells you, no, no. He says, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And we think, well, that's abolished in Christ. No, it's not abolished. Now, there's a hard issue, and we don't keep the law in the same manner that even the children of Israel would have been asked by God to keep ceremonial type laws, and we don't do those. But there's a heart issue at the bottom of all the laws. where God says, listen, I'm going to speak to your heart and I'm going to tell you what I want you to do, because behind every no is a greater yes. Thou shalt not kill. Let's promote life. There's a greater yes behind every no. But as a child, you know what we hear? We hear no, no. And just like children, just like baby Christians, and just like stubborn Christians, and listen, take this in the love that it's being given to you, because I got a smile on my face. Some of y'all are just stubborn Christians. That's all y'all are. You're just stubborn. And you don't like it when God says no, no to you. And you're like, how dare them say no, no to me? No, listen, it's God. He's saying no, no to you. But he's doing it because he loves you. And here's why. Because there's a greater yes. There's a greater yes. Greater yes. Far greater. Far better. And God knows that. He's your Father. It's like our children, and we see them, and we say, no, 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 because we know the greater yes, don't we? And they don't understand, but we know the greater yes. And our Father knows the greater yes. And so, as His children, we need to learn to allow Him to say these type of things to us. The no's, the no-no's. Understanding there's a greater yes. Allowing Him to mold us and to change us, to break us. His laws are designed to get to our heart. They are not behavioral modifications. They're not designed by God to make us better people. They're not designed by God to make bad people to become good people. That's not what the law is for. The laws of God are to be obeyed by faith as God gets to the heart of our problems. Okay? And all of them will get to the heart because they're all timeless. And the laws of God will teach us about God and about us. And it's exciting. And I think this is going to be such an exciting journey as we study through this. Turn to 1 Peter 2, and we're going to close right here. 1 Peter 2. I want to make a couple of comments here, and then we're going to be done. Okay? 1 Peter 2. I don't think any of you would do this, but I want to say it just because I feel that it needs to be said. That I don't want you to leave this place saying, well, they at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, they try to keep the law there. No. That's not what this series is going to be designed to do at all. Trying to keep the law won't gain you 1 ounce of favor with God. And that's not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to teach you how to be peculiar. How to be God's people. Listen, you don't have to be different, but God has called you to be different. And so this is how. Okay? Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 9 with me. Say amen when you're there. Amen. Amen. Great. Verse 9, just follow along as I read. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a, you say it, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, we should be motivated to try to be obedient to God as He calls us to make changes in our life. We should be willing and motivated to be obedient to Him. Why? Because He's our God. We are His people. I don't think there's anybody who's ashamed of that here. I'm ashamed to be His chosen. No, 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 no. We're glad to be His people. And that ought alone to motivate us to say, I want to look like it. I want to live like it. I want to be different. Because He's called me to be different. Because I'm His. And He is mine. And that's enough for me. It ought to be. Father, we love You this morning, and we thank You for Your word. And as we set the platform, really, for all of the subsequent messages in the book of Exodus and all the way through the book of Leviticus, called to be different, I pray that You'll help us to get to the heart of the law, each law, to get to the heart of what You're wanting to accomplish in the heart of men, not just to get them to perform some outward actions, ceremonies and stuff, but Lord, just to be, Lord, in our hearts, right with You and close to You in a sense that we are Your peculiar people. And so I pray that You'll help us to to have that motivation this morning, the desire to be right with you in that way. And I pray you'll change us, help us to know what you'd have us to do. And then, Lord, motivate our hearts to help us to be motivated, God, to be your people. We love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together.